toi. I'm gonna keep on working. Yes, I am. Oh, 'cause I want to. I want to receive my starry crown. And I know my way will get brighter, even though my friends sometimes let me down. But oh, what a time it will be when my Savior's face I see. I'm serving the Lord. Oh, it'll pay off. After a while. The doors of church are open. That may be somebody. Serving the Lord will pay off.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
at
88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Your Bible to the book of St. Luke, chapter 13. We're going to read verse 10 through verse 13. The book of St. Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through verse 13. There a story was told. I'm going to ask that you stand with me in reference to the Word of God. And I encourage you to please pay attention to the story. And my job is just to use that story as a platform to point out things. The Bible says, how can they hear without a preacher? So those few lines of story, we're going to digest it for our own living today. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 through verse 13. Thank you, Pastor, and the Chair of the Deacons. We appreciate you being here. We love you, sir. I was just thinking, actually, about encouraging some of our children in the house to go plant a church. This church needs to be birthing new churches. Let me let you in a little secret that even I haven't told my own wife. There's some family, thank you, Holy Ghost, you say you can do it. There's some family that left here and moved to Lafayette. and they told me they couldn't find a church. There's some young people that moved to Monroe, Borrell's daughter. Some of you, if I don't give you evidence, you don't believe. I don't like to mention people's name, but you push it out of me. You know? People have been so religious for too long. We have people that moved to Texas. They're still paying tithes here. One of them is Sarah. She used to sing great. She never means. Don't take this ministry for granted. I don't want you to get to heaven before you realize what you got. This family, they used to sit right here, the Bayons. They're now in Lafayette. They say, Pastor, we visit and we visit. You know what I told them? I said, find some families. And if you all gather in your house, I will come and minister to you. See, there's a lot that's going on. Get excited about the power of God in your house. People will come from east and west, from north and south, to this house to behold the glory of God. And it's not about man. It's God and God all by himself. Hallelujah. Let your singing, your praise, your teaching, anything you do, if you wash dishes, do it for the glory of God. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 through verse 13. And he, talking about Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit. And the spirit is named of infirmity. He's been having this problem for 18 years. So bad that she was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And Jesus laid his hands on her. And immediately, hallelujah, immediately she was made straight. And glorify God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are grateful. Another day of blessing, a brand new year. Holy Spirit, we pray, oh God, that this year will be a better year. Much, much better. Every area of our life, we cover it with the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. The miracles, signs, and wonders will be our portion on regular basis this year. We come against every spirit of hindrance. We come against every spirit of opposition. We come against any hindrance, any stumbling block of the devil. And Lord, we take our rightful place. We are seated in heavenly places, high above principalities. It is so. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, I am a candidate this year for a miracle. I am a candidate for a miracle. Will you please prophesy over your own self. Tell somebody, I am a candidate for miracle. Will you please do yourself a favor? Behind the word miracle, put an S to it. And then say it again like you mean it. I am a candidate for miracles. If you believe it, shout amen. The passage I just read to your hearing took place on the Sabbath. Just like you're here on our own Western world Sabbath day, Jesus was at his own Sabbath day, and just like you're in the church, he also went to church. Ladies and gentlemen, he was teaching that day, according to what you have just read. And while he was teaching, just like I'm teaching in front of you, there was a woman in the congregation. So the Bible is very, very relevant to what we are doing today. But please take note that that woman, the Bible say, was very sick. Am I still in the book? In fact, the Bible described her sickness. The Bible says she have a spirit of what? Infirmity. Well, the symptom or the manifestation of that sickness was shown on the outside. So outwardly, the Bible described her that she was bent over. In other words, she was twisted. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the equivalent of somebody coming to our church nowadays and that person is twisted or handicapped. Are you all still here? Then Jesus did four things that I want you to please take note. And I believe he wants to do all four in your own life. The four things that he did is pronounced in verse 12 and verse 13 of the book of Luke chapter 13. Verse 12 said, Jesus saw her. Number two, Jesus called her. I believe God sees you, and I believe he calls you. Number three, Jesus said something to her. He wants to say the same thing to you today. And finally, Jesus touched her. He saw her. He called her. He said something to her. And he touched her. I can close my book and go home. As a result of what Jesus did, the woman was made whole. In fact, she was so healed that she started praising God. My brothers and my sisters, if you will allow God to touch you today, if you will allow God to speak to you today, if you will recognize in your knowing that he saw you, if you will recognize that you have been called, you have been chosen by God this year to stand out among your peers, this message is for you. Please permit me to bring few things out from this passage. Number one, please take note that this woman was in the church and yet she had trouble. It is very important for church folks to recognize that just because you're in a church, that don't mean you're free of trouble. Many people think that when you're in church, you're not supposed to be in trouble. You're not supposed to be sick. And even when somebody gets sick, they think that person had sinned. So please, I beg you in the name of Jesus, get your understanding straight. And all of you are getting good understanding. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it says it rained not just on the just, but on the unjust. Not just on the unjust, but also the just. Are you all still here? Secondly, I want you to notice that when Jesus was preaching, it's very uncommon for a preacher to stop in the middle of a sermon. But because of compassion of the Lord, Jesus literally stopped in the middle of his message. And the Bible says in verse 12, he saw her. It means Jesus was not so consumed in his preaching, he noticed her condition. Please permit me to suggest to you this morning that whatever situation you are in, there is a God who pays very close attention to what's going on in your life. Somebody here is going through something. People may not see you, but God sees you. If you receive that, shout amen. Amen. The reality of life is that people can live with you and eat with you and sleep with you and never see you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe me, you remember the story of Leah and Jacob. They spent the night together. Am I still in the book? But Jacob never saw her until after the fire. That's when he discovered the woman is ugly. I'm trying to help somebody. Open your mind and say, God, see me. Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is that whatever you're going through right now, whatever is known to you and nobody else, God see you. That's something to shout about. If you need healing this morning, it's very important. You cannot even receive your healing until you recognize that in whatever state you are in right now, even if the doctor missed the diagnosis, God sees you. If you receive that, shout amen. Amen. When I say God see you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that he see your mask. God see you, but not who you pretend to be. God see you, but not who you are trying to be. God sees the real you. He sees what no other person sees. There are some things about you that even your own husband don't know. Your own wife don't know. But God sees you. You know, that's something to shout about. He sees your pain. He sees your tears. He sees your struggle. God sees your circumstance. God sees your condition. God sees your situation. God sees your challenges. God sees you. Typically, when people see you or when people notice you, that makes you important. Am I right about it? The problem in churches today, study shows that the reason why many churches don't grow is because people come into the church and nobody notices them. I'm still dealing with one point, that God sees you. If you ever receive the revelation that when nobody remembers to say thank you, when nobody even recognizes what you're going through, if you ever grab hold of this simple message that God sees you, deliverance is taking place already. Open your mouth, declare it again by faith, God sees me. This woman, it bothers me as I was reading the story. You see, I'm a theologian. I was checking this out. And she's in the church. She's a church member. And nobody saw her. She's a member of the church. She probably show up every time the church door is open. But nobody saw her. She was just a number in the house. Pastors, all of you out there listening to me, if you really want your church to grow, begin to pay attention to people. It don't take much for any ministry to be blessed. But people just don't want to be a number. Have you noticed most people who say they know you, they don't know you? Am I telling the truth today? Some people will brag and say, oh, you say Joshua, Dara, oh, I know him. Oh, that's my man. But they have no clue. They see the glory, but they don't know your story. But it's good to know God sees you. Open your mind and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, I want you to know God cares. I was a Baptist boy for the longest. We used to sing a song like that. We say, in a mansion made of stone, in a shelter all alone, God cares. Ooh. He cares. Ooh. See, they're too young. They can. God really cares for you. You see, what drives me every day when I get up, I'm not persuaded by the opinion of anybody about me, because I know I got a big father who's got my back. You need to know right now, you're knowing that God cares for you. I mean, we know it so much as a Baptist boy. We say, oh, he cares. He cares. He cares. God really cares for you. We'd be crying and sobbing. We don't have much back then. That's before churches become so fancy. Until you know for yourself that God sees your condition. That even when you are being abused, God is there. When they're taking you to the courthouse, God is there. When they're calling your name wrong, God is there. When they're lying about you, God is there. His name is Jehovah Shammah. Why am I saying so much about knowing that God is there? If you don't know that, you will allow the injury of yesterday to block the blessings of today. I was telling one of my friends like that, I say, believe me, it's over. I say, I'll get over it. You can't dwell on things. You got to move on. It's a brand new day. Whatever they did to you, don't worry about it. Give it to God. Hit somebody and say, move on. Praise God. God wants to save you. God wants to heal you. God wants to deliver you. God wants to set all of us free. But we must be willing to move on from yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, you remember the story of Hannah. Hannah was in the same shape. She was in church. She was brokenhearted. She was praying to the Lord, and nobody saw her situation. Even the pastor missed it. But it's good to know that God sees you. God sees your heart. God sees your soul. Even if your body is aching right now, guess what? God sees that too. Aren't you glad about it? I say God sees your condition. I say God sees your circumstance. God sees your situation. Amen, somebody. Please permit me. I have a habit of digesting the Bible, just breaking it down. Notice that even though Jesus saw her, what he saw was not pretty. Ladies and gentlemen, a woman is supposed to be pretty. And all the men say, amen. Amen. Come on now, don't leave me hanging by myself, brother. All the brothers say, amen. A woman is supposed to be beautiful. Some of you religious folks say, I can't believe he said that. Praise the Lord. The Bible said that this woman was not pretty. She was bent over. That's not a pretty sight. She was twisted. Am I still in the book? Can I be really honest with somebody today? What is so sad about church today is that on the outside, many of you look pretty. But on the inside, you are twisted. Oh, I'm going to preach. I'm taking my time. I'm just dissecting. Look beautiful on the outside. And what is so sad is that if you have to tell everything you've been through, if I have to tell everything I've been through, don't be fooled by my smile. It ain't pretty. But God, somebody shout, but God. See, the grace of God is what sustained you. The grace of God is what brought you this far. And that same God is still on the throne. That's something to shout about. The problem is that when we come to churches nowadays, church folks really don't want you to be right. They just want you to look right. They don't bother you. They don't care if you're right or not. They just look right. And that is why it's so difficult to witness real miracles in the house. Because people that look right ain't right. Ah, my yamaka sin. But I thank God today, God is not afraid to deal with our messed up. Somebody said he looked beyond our fault. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Maybe I'm just preaching to my own self. He looked beyond our fault and saw our need. In that when we say, amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I don't know, maybe it's not going to apply to you. I do not know just how he came to love me so. You know, I feel good today. He looked beyond all my faults and he saw my need. Hey! Sometimes I just like to shout with no music on because nobody knows like you know what God has done for you. Even when friend David said, when my mama and my father forsake me, I'm sorry. That was just for me. Did you know that Jesus did not look at her after she was straightened out? The problem with church is that we expect people to be all right before they come in. This is a hospital. Let the sinners come here. Let the alcoholic come here. Let the crackhead come here. Let the lesbian come here. Let the gays come here. He will be young. I can get church people to develop a heart of God, this world will be a better place. Are you still here? Jesus looked at her while she was still a mess. I thank God for that. Can I be honest with you? Most men, I'm giving this to the ladies now, because some of you are single, you're still looking. Most men don't look at uglies. Brothers, keep on looking at me now. I don't want nobody to slap you. Most men will look at a woman who looks good. But God, even a mess, He's willing to look at us. Hallelujah. Not only did Jesus, I finally get to my second point. Not only did Jesus saw her, what's the next thing He did? He called her. I believe with all my heart today that is very significant. Did you realize that God has power? He really don't have to call her. The Bible is full of people that God will just send a word and they get healed. There are some places God will just enable the preacher to send a handkerchief and they get healed. Some people even get healed just through the shadow. Am I still in the book? In fact, if you remember when Jesus dealt with the centurion, he never had to call, he never had to go there. He just spoke the word. Then the question must be asked as a theologian, why is it that Jesus called this woman? Some of the deliverance you're going to experience this year is not going to come out of convenience. God may have to require of you to do things that you're not used to. Many of you want to be blessed, but you want to be blessed in secret. But you got to be open, because God may want to bless you out of your comfort zone. You may have to shout a little louder than you used to. You may have to act a fool in the church house. You may have to keep on running, even when your boyfriend is in the house. You may have to live holy. Oh, and nobody shouting now. In order for you to get your miracle, you have to be willing to allow God to do it any way He wants. That's why we sing the song, "Any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied." Ladies and gentlemen, you may have to pray. I know you're not used to that. I know you're used to other people praying for you. I know you got phone numbers of people you can call. Pray for me, sister. Pray for me, brother. Let's double it up. Pray for me, brother, sister. Well, let's triple it. Pray for me, brother, sister, pastor. But this year, you may have to pray for your own self. Are you still here this morning? I'm talking about you being able to pursue God. See, we said this will be a year of total recovery. And I told you what's going to take. You have to be willing to pray. Pastor, but I don't know how to pray. Well, nobody went to a school to learn how to pray. But when the devil began to mess with your child, oh God! Somebody shall pray. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the message? God is calling you right now. God is calling you to holiness. God is calling you and me to godliness. God is calling you and me to prayer. He said, if my people who are called by my name, am I still in the book? We have to humble ourselves. We have to pray. We have to turn from our wicked ways. And you know, if we do that, he said he will hear us and then he will heal us. Anybody wants to be healed this year? Shout amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this call that I'm talking about is not the call that you're used to in religion. You don't have to be a preacher to be called by God. This woman, God called her, and she ain't no preacher. This woman, God called her, she ain't no deaconess. So I want all of you to go home today knowing that God has called you out this year to make a difference in your world. I say this with utmost humility. My greatest joy is when I go to places and people will say, thank you, you're making a difference. Life is not worth a living if you just pass through. The Bible says, while you pass through the valley of Baca, make it a well. There's somebody out there that will not know Jesus except you. But can they see Jesus in you? He calls you. You may be imperfect, but he calls you. You may have a baggage, but he calls you. Some of you may have a past life, but thank you, Holy Ghost. He just arrested me again. I said, some of you may, he said, all of you have a past life. Now, let me fix it. All of us. I like it. I'll be preaching and he'll be talking to me. Hallelujah. But you know what is so good about God? If he can use anything, he can use you, he can use me. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but God has called you. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. Now touch somebody and say, I'm going. Tell him I'm going anyhow. Regardless of my condition, I'm going. In spite of my situation, I'm going. I don't care if nobody likes me, I'm still going. Even with my bills due, I'm going. Hey! Ooh, I feel good. That's what we say. We say, Lord, I will. That's what you're, listen to what you're singing. I'll stand until you come for me. Then you all said to me, regardless of my condition, that don't listen, the Bible is real, but don't just sing it. You gotta live what you sing it. When you say you're gonna stand, you gotta be standing at your post. I was like Jeremiah. I said, no. I said, I'm through. I said, they don't want me. I stick my neck out to help them. I said, no, I'm done. But then, Lord, I will stand until you come. You come for me. Isn't that what we say? Regardless of my condition, in spite of my situation, I stand until you come for me. Now, I'm challenging every one of you. from the pulpit, just like Jeremiah said, no, I cannot quit. I cannot give up. He said it's like fire. Shut up in my book. I got to tell somebody. That message is not just for Jeremiah. It's for you. It's for me. It's for... Do you know if all of us here, almost 600 people, we have 562 people. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Just hit me again. He said you have 562 and you believe in God for 600. Your thinking is too small. Thank you. See, the reason why I put myself on fire is for you to know I'm just an ordinary brother like you. I'm missing something. Every now and then you step in and say, no, jack it up. He said, I'm a God of no limit. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, God always calls people. Blind Bartimaeus, he was a mess. But guess what? All the church dignitaries, they say, shut up. You're not on program. Shut up. But Jesus stopped and he called for him. So the Bible is full of examples like that. And what I'm trying to plant in your spirit today, you need to live here today knowing that God has called you. You don't have to have a reverend behind your name. You don't have to be the assistant to the Pope. You don't have to be bishop so and so. God has called every one of us to do the work of the ministry. If you believe that, shout amen. Amen. Now, please, oh Lord, I'm just looking at this passage. Ladies and gentlemen, notice that this woman was not lazy. The Bible said that he was trying to raise herself, but she couldn't. That means, ladies and gentlemen, she's making the effort. There's a lesson there. Be careful when you judge people. Sometimes you see people's condition, but you don't know what they've been through. Some of you, you begin to run your mouth. Well, if she really wants to live right, if she really wants to walk, all she needs to do is just anoint herself with oil and jump around it. You don't know my story. She wanted to. She tried to. But she couldn't raise herself. Be careful that you don't judge people that comes in here. Yes, it's wrong to get pregnant before marriage, but many of us have got pregnant before marriage and we are still here. God is merciful. God is forgiving. God will restore you. God will plant your feet back on track. If you would just say, Lord, here am I. Nobody here, male or female, can say in good faith they've not done any wrong. Well, let me just talk about the pulpit. Ain't nobody I've ever come and preached in this pulpit that hasn't done anything wrong. Beginning with me. Paul said, don't be fooled by the anointing. I am a chief among sinners. But thank God for Jesus. Bible says she tried, but she couldn't get up. You know, can I take a little side journey to talk to you sisters? You know, one thing I noticed about you ladies, can you handle the truth? See, this woman, because she's a sister, I can see. Notice that she tried to lift herself up, but she couldn't. The problem with sister is that you are always lifting everybody else but yourself. Woo! Can you handle the truth? You lift your children. Am I right about it? Even when they're not doing right, you build them up. You lift up your husband. You lift up your boyfriend. You're always building everybody else up. You are lifting everybody. You come to church, you lift up the pastor. You lift up the church. You lift up your grandchildren. You building everybody else. You lifting everybody else. But you can't lift yourself. The doctor is in the house. By the way, the Bible said, I hear the Holy Spirit says somebody's here. You've been faithful lifting everybody else. The Holy Ghost said this year, all of heaven will lift you up. Hallelujah. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. You've built everybody else up. You lift up your children. You lift up your boss. You lift up the preacher. You lift up the church. You lift up everybody else. You lift up your boyfriend. You lift up your husband. I hear the Holy Spirit says, this year, all of heaven, not some of heaven, all of heaven will lift you up. If you receive that, shout amen. Come on, shout amen. Amen. Woo, let me get a few more things in because we have to go to Sunday school. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus looked at her, Jesus did not look at her hair. Jesus did not look at her hips. Jesus did not look at her lips. Jesus did not look at her fingertips. Sometimes we put a lot of emphasis on the wrong thing. We spend time fixing our hair. Spend time fixing our body. Oh, I have much fun watching my daughters. It's really theatrical. They'll go to the bathroom and mix all kind of chemicals. I thought I'm running a pharmacy. And then they hook it up. And every now and then I just pass through. And then they fix it up. Oh! Help me, Holy Ghost. You know what I'm trying to tell you? You don't judge people by what you see on the outside. God is going to be sending some people here that will blow every religious whatever you believe. They're not going to dress like you. They're not going to look like you. They're not going to talk like you. But God loved them anyhow. The question this morning is, Zion Hill going to prepare itself to let go and let God? People look on the outside, but God look on the inside. I just completed a book on healing. Spent a lot of energy putting the books together. And then the publisher, they start wasting my time on the cover. How the cover's going? I say, I don't care. It's not the cover that matters. It's the content. If you have beauty on the outside and you have nothing on the inside, Your beauty may attract a brother, but your inside will run him off. Oh, somebody said, preach, pastor! You will never be able to keep a man just because of your cute eyes. Can you imagine? Are you all right? Can you imagine who a brother, they will not tell you all the truth, but the Lord set me free. Say, just be you. Brothers will leave home and then will go to work. If the truth be told, between the time we leave home and we get home, we probably pass about 20 women. Keep looking at the preacher. I don't want you to be slapped in the church. But ladies and gentlemen, if the brother went to work, pass all those women and come back to you, I guarantee you, it's not because of your hips, it's not because of your leaves, it's not because of your fingernail, it's because there's something on the inside. I say you're preaching. I got only 5 minutes. I'm just dissecting this scripture. That's all I want to do today. Ladies and gentlemen, please take note that the Bible described her sickness. The Bible said her sickness was not because she had an automobile accident. Her sickness was not because of any foul play. Her sickness was not because she was born with a funny back. The Bible said the devil. That's why I say don't judge the book by its cover. I wrote an article in the Tan Talk several months ago, and I said, do not judge a book by its cover. It's not because of something she did wrong. The devil messed with her. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to your pastor, especially you ladies. The devil don't like you. I know all your life you've been told, well, the devil don't like the black man. No, that's a lie. The devil hates you women. People that don't know the Bible will be telling you differently. If you don't believe me, remember, it was the woman that the devil went after in the garden. Am I still in the book? You know why the devil hates you women? Ladies and gentlemen, sisters, you are the door for life.
Yes, sir.
As I'm preaching to you now, one of my daughter in the Lord is having a baby.
Yes, sir.
Nobody can come to the planet Earth without you women. Get a clue, sister. In all of your getting, get understanding. All this cheap religious stuff, you want to go to a church and just shake your booty and feel good. No, grow up. Know who you are in Christ. You are the real deal. Even God could not come to the planet Earth. The Bible says he was born of a woman. That's why the devil is messing. Thank you, Jesus. If it's going to be birth on earth, it's got to come through a woman. You are the doors of life, and the devil hates that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, put it this way. He said, there shall be an enmity between you women and the devil. So when all these ignoramus preachers say, oh, the devil hate black man, the devil hate... See, the devil always gives you a counterfeit so that he can hide the truth of the gospel. The book said there will be a fight, an enmity between woman and the devil. So there is an ongoing fight between you and the devil. And that's why you be trying all trick. You know one thing I do like about sisters, though? You all are very spiritual. Did you know that? Don't be afraid. Tell somebody, I'm spiritual. You know how I know you're spiritual? You go to it. You look around. You see the population of women to men right now. Just look around. The most of the people in this house right now, guess who they are? You have a heart for God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, I know. Ain't no stupid though. I may pretend as if I don't speak English, but Conte knows. Yeah. I know. I'm just having fun. Ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to have church, I'm blessing my sons and daughters in the Lord now. Call the women. If you really want to build your ministry, call the women. Now, the brothers say, I meet with the brothers now. They'll talk big English. But when it really comes down to getting things done, the women, they'll fight for you. They'll pray for you. And if you're one of those brothers, you married to an Amazon woman, whoo, Lord. She'll tell you, hey, Brother Bubba, stay back. She'll confront that devil one-handed and beat him up and then say, Baba, let's go. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm talking about today. I'm just in my... Thank God for churches full of sisters. Thank God for the reliability. I mean, if you really want to have church, you invite women, they'll come. Black women, white women, short women, tall women, ugly, fine-looking ones, all kinds of women. They'll come and praise the Lord with you. Funny-looking ones, bow-legged ones. They'll come, and they'll shout the devil out of this house. I thank God for the women. Ain't no shame in my game. We come this far in this church because of the help of those women. And I'm forever grateful. When you call them, they show up. You know why they show up? Because they are spiritual. Spiritually, there's a fight between you and the devil. Sister, be aware that he's after you. And that is why you fight over little things. That is why you don't want you to get along with each other. When ladies get together, they fight over a hairpiece.